Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, so we have all kinds of crazy things going on. The Panthers signed Jeremy Clinton, Matt Rule, 7 years, $60 million. And the Giants, the New York football Giants, they have a new coach. Joe Judge. Joe Judge, wide receiver coach for the Patriots. Oh, the foolishness that's going on right now. Welcome to the Cave Show. This is PLR. I usually start out with an introduction, but I had to get that over with. Joe Judge, Matt Rule, Mr. McCarthy, welcome to the NFL, or in the case of Mike McCarthy, welcome back to the NFL with Dallas. We touched on that yesterday. Oh, my goodness, there's so much stuff to get into. Boy, do I have some thoughts on these coaches. And Eric Bieniemy still doesn't have a job. Anyway, welcome to the Cave Show of PLR. This is PLR. We'll get into that. We'll talk about Kevin Love possibly being traded, looking very disinterested as a Cavalier. Talk about the Suns and their lackluster game the other night. They do have another game tonight against Sacramento. I got some sound from DeAndre Ayton, who's only shot 9 free throws in 6 games. I asked him directly. You'll get the answer directly. Talk to Devin Booker about the fact that he did shoot 14 free throws. Ask him directly. You'll get that answer directly. As well as you'll get the one and only Ed Smith at about 10 to 15 minutes after the hour, laboring to get him on as well. And Boston cheaters too. I told all you people pointing your fingers at the Astros, once you open that cover, that's not the only thing that'll come out. But like I said, this is the Cave Show with PLR. We're brought to you by the one and only Maduro Smart Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School in Chatham Heights. Get in there, let them know that PLR sent you. They will tune you up to 10% off of your cigar purchase. Become a club member, get a locker that backs up to a humidor. Sticks will never go bad. Watch all the games. They're the best place to watch NFL playoff games. They serve beer and wine, so you have no reason to leave. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. And again, remind them that PLR sent you from the Cave Show, 10% off your cigar purchase. Like I said, we have the one and only Ed Smith joining us shortly, but I do have a call on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. That number is 917-889-7828. 917-889-7828. You are on live with PLR, the Cave Show with PLR. Thank you for patiently waiting.
Thanks, Paul. Good afternoon.
Lou, how was your holiday, buddy?
Pretty well. Thanks. Good to be back.
Good deal. Hopefully you got everything you wanted. The G.I. Bill with the 22 grip.
Well, I guess we can put it this way. So what do you think is going to be the judge's ruling? You know I had to go somewhere.
Well,
right?
Now you got judges in 2 sports.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I just couldn't resist that joke. Well, you know, rules turn down so many, you know, offers, from the Giants and other sources. So what finally made him decide to change his mind about this one?
Let me ask you this question. In terms of these guys. So the Giants go out and they get Joe Judge. Gettleman strikes again. So you bring in this guy who wasn't even an offensive coach. He was the wide receiver coach. What was the worst position the Patriots had this year?
Wide receiver?
Wide receiver. They took a number one pick in N'Keal Harry, made him look pedestrian. They got Mohamed Sanu in a trade, made him look pedestrian. And he's the person that gets promoted. Not saying Josh McDaniels wanted that job. Not saying Eric Bieniemy wanted that job. But I find it very odd. And when you look at the Belichick guys, I know we got some success down in Houston. I know Vrabel did good, but Vrabel was a player, not a coach. But when you look at the other guys, Josh McDaniels did out in Denver. My man Matt Patricia, he just got awful. And
I could tell you that myself. And Detroit's still keeping him.
Yeah, and Brian Flores is battling an uphill battle, and he did a very good job down there. But if you look at what happens with Matt Nagy, with Peterson, and now you got a Bieniemy, how do you not go that route when you got a young quarterback? And Bieniemy has proven he can work with young quarterbacks, and what he did with in KC already. Runs a good offense. You have Saquon Barkley. You have a young quarterback. And you go with a wide receiver coach that no one's heard of. Please make that make sense, Lou. You're in that market.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense at all. I mean, my partner and I were discussing that on Facebook this afternoon. And we just can't figure that out. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense at all.
Yeah, that's why I asked you to make it make sense for me. It's your market. You're in the Big Apple. You tell me. How does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, we really don't know much about him. I don't really know much about him, to be honest. You know, coming on the New England side, you know. But the Giants, you know, have really slacked off this year on the offensive side, and maybe he could help straighten him out. I don't think so, but, you know, he's the best I think we can do. This could be another painful season. I mean, this was their worst season since 76.
Yeah, but you're the Giants. That has to carry some weight in terms of who you can offer, what you can offer, the pocketbooks that you have. You're the New York Giants. You mean to tell me with all these guys out there, all these coaches that are out there, this is the best the Giants can do? Or is this a guy that Gettleman will have, and will be a loyal to Gettleman kind of guy?
You mean a yes man, right?
You said it, not me.
Yeah, that's what I think. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for a yes man.
Well, I don't know. You know what? We could be wrong. He may be the best thing ever.
He could.
He may be the new young hot. But I think all their guys that they may have targeted were going off the board, and they panicked and they grabbed someone because the season hasn't officially ended.
No.
There's still a month of football left. Why is there a rush to hire someone right now?
That's the NFL for you, I guess. I mean, I thought you were supposed to wait until after the playoffs were over to do that.
Well, and that's the other thing. If you wait, that's when you can get someone from the staff of Kansas City or Seattle or Baltimore and target someone that's coming from a winning organization. Not saying New England's not a winning organization, but you didn't even get the top guy from New England. You got the guy that no one knows about. I mean, am I fair to say the judgment will be out on him? Did you like that one?
I think this might be an unfair trial. Hey, I have a cousin's a lawyer. Come on.
I don't know, my friend. Very interesting.
Yeah. Sad to say the least.
Yeah.
But I'm just glad that the Patriots are out.
Yes, they are out. And so are the whining Saints.
They got cheated. That was not fair. They got cheated. He was pushed, and that should have been replayed.
Then you know what? I say this. They should have called pass interference on a defender before because he was hand fighting. So the whole thing is they wind their way into a rule change. That wouldn't have been a PI last year, wouldn't have been a PI the year before. They wind their way into a rule change, and it still didn't help them. Play football.
No.
Shut up. City of New Orleans. Shut up. Saints fans. Shut up. Who that? Who that just got eliminated for the third year in a row on the last play of the game?
Right. The Aints.
So, that's how I feel about them.
Not good. Just not good.
So,
I mean, they just can't seem to get it, you know. I mean, the game was in the bag for them, and somehow they just found a way to lose again.
Again. Make sure you use that word. Again.
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 Yeah. Or the way I look at it, they got screwed.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know what? I can't say it because it's radio, but I'll just say there's some people in some professions that don't mind that happening to them. So, who knows? They didn't lose that game because of that move. They lost that game because Drew Brees didn't play that well. He had one good drive.
That's true. He wasn't the same Brees as we all know.
He hasn't been. But I'm not going to get off on that tangent. I'm going to ask you, my friend,
okay,
what else do you have before Ed hops on here in a couple of minutes?
Well, let's just say the Yankees got their share of coal for Christmas. I don't mean C-O-L-L, I mean C-O-L-E. I mean C-O-L-E.
Yes.
$324 gazillion over 9 years, but here's the thing. There is an opt-out after 5 years, and if he doesn't do well, the Yankees might void the rest of his contract.
Yeah, but he'll have a whole bunch of money by then.
Even if the contract is void after 5 years?
Yeah, but I mean he has 5 years to get a whole bunch of money before that.
True. But still, I mean, that's a long time, though, 9 years, too.
What did he sign for a year? Was it almost $50 million a year?
Something like that. I think it was $46, $47 million and change.
So let's just pretend money, since it's not our money. Let's say that he made $40 million a year. Now, I'm just putting a number out there because I know it's a little bit more. And they voided after 5 years. If I didn't do my job well after 5 years, but you still gave me $200 million, I think I'd be okay.
Well, I would give you more of an incentive.
But that's what I mean. But my point is, if everything is going bad, and they could void it after 5 years, I've made $200 million. So I'm not too mad at I don't know too many people mad at $200 million.
Neither do I. But the point is, though, if you know you play for 9 years and they're going to option for 5 years because you reek of death, I mean, you know, it's all for naught.
But it, for who? Who's it for naught for?
For you and the team.
They're counting on you to
win championships at least, and after 5 years and haven't performing at all well enough, well, they don't want you.
Yeah, but you know what? Let me ask you this. Have you ever broke up with a girlfriend before?
Yes.
Okay. If you broke up with a girlfriend and she ruined your credit and took your money, that sucks. But if you broke up with a girlfriend, but in the breakup, you got the house and the Mercedes, wouldn't you consider that more? You're still one. So if I break up with a girl and I get $200 million in the breakup, I think I'm going to be okay.
On the outside, maybe, but on the inside, no, because that happened to me. Because on the inside, I was not happy about it.
Oh, I hear you. You know what, though?
I didn't want to do it.
You know what they say, Lou? If you have no friends and you have $200 million, you ain't looking for your friends in the right place.
No. Which let me do a course of high friends in low places. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow. Oh, boy.
But yes,
I'll set it for tomorrow. Yeah. You got Big Ed coming, so I'll leave it at that.
All right, buddy. Well, it's good to hear your voice. Good to hear
you back
on the content. Yes, vacation time's over.
By the way, my show has now moved to 5 o'clock in the East, and And we have a new number as well.
512?
Okay. 555 bum. No. 512-543-4662. And the good news is you don't need a pound sign. So you do get squat.
Nice.
But if you're going to be a foul mouth ranting lunatic, forget it.
And you said it's 5 p.m. Saturdays.
5 p.m. my time.
Right, Eastern.
Right.
All right, buddy. Sounds good, man.
All right.
Congrats.
Okay. All right, Paul, we'll talk again tomorrow if the line is working.
All right, buddy.
All right.
All righty, my man. Always good to catch up with a good friend and program. I'm going to get off into a couple different things. We'll do that in about 30 seconds.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
This is the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Hey, don't forget, we will be broadcasting live from Scottsdale, Arizona, the biggest car auction in the world, Barrett Jackson. I will have that schedule for you on Friday, exactly when we will be there. If you come out, I will let you know where we are via social media at the Sports Cave on Twitter and Instagram. Please swing by and say hello. May have a couple things to give away, a couple prizes. So make sure you check us out at the Barrett Jackson Auto Auction in Scottsdale, Arizona, and I will be giving you all the info. Also, this Thursday, we are back at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. It is Cigars with the Cave Show, and that is this Thursday. We will be live at 1 o'clock, so make sure you are definitely checking us out. So back to it. Want to get into a little bit more of hoops until Ed joins us. Got delayed, got a message from him. He's a little delayed. So want to get into a couple different things that are going on. So the other night you heard me spout off about this, how DeAndre Ayton is not shooting free throws, not being as aggressive, not being as assertive, and not basically, you know, drawing fouls. And today at shoot around, I had an opportunity to catch up with him. And you know me, I just asked a question, and I asked it directly, and this is what DA said to me.
Do you have a goal in mind, say, with free throws? Like, I know I should be shooting six a game, eight a game.
Yeah, I just got to get to this line, man. That fadeaway jump ain't working. I just got to get to this line. You know, I got to get to the, you know, getting bumped a little bit, or, you know, throwing off my spot, you know, just get back in rhythm, to be honest. Still getting back in rhythm, not saying I'm, you know, all the way there yet, but, you know, once you get in between them lines, it's time to hoop.
And this was the first game he played with Aaron Baines as a center, and D.A. slid down to the four and played power forward. And one of the things he said was he's looking to pass right away. And honestly, I think that's a problem. I remember the great Charles Barkley was once saying, great passing out of the post is knowing when to accept that double team. And what's happening with DeAndre Ayton is he's passing the ball as soon as he sees the double coming. So in essence, he's not accepting the double team. He's getting rid of the ball before the double team. And as one reporter said to me today that was down there at the Sun Shooting Around, everything now is so predicated on ball movement that there isn't that hesitation to really bring that double team to you. At 7 foot tall, DeAndre Ayton should welcome a double team running at him and letting them get to him, because it makes their reaction time that much harder when he's kicking the ball out. Now the ball is moving. Now there's swing passes. Also, the one thing I remember distinctly about Dwight Howard when he played for Houston, and we all know Dwight's not a great free throw shooter. I mean, I'm not like dropping breaking news by saying that. But the one thing Dwight Howard did very well was pick up a lot of cheap fouls on the opponents. And so you look up at the clock and it's 8 minutes left and they've already committed four fouls. And because Houston was such an exceptional shooting free throw team, they would end up in a penalty so early. And these are the things that I believe DeAndre Ayton could do. And we'll talk more about that in a second. But right now on this Carrie Lackey Law Line, my main man is on, my brother, the one and only from Easy Sports Talk Radio. You know him from the NFL. You know him from Major League Baseball. My main man, Ed Smith. Ed, what's up, bro?
What's going on, brother Paul? Good to be on with you. First time in 2020. Appreciate your patience, man. Sorry, I was a few minutes late getting in.
Yo, man, I appreciate you coming on today. You caught me on the tail end. I was talking to DeAndre Ayton a little bit earlier, and you know, 9 free throws in 6 games, and you're 7 foot tall playing the 4 and the 5. That's just not enough.
I remember, I think it was last year when they drafted him. You know, we talked, and I was in, I won't say the minority, but one of the things, my concerns about him was I didn't like the timidness, the lack of like dog in him. And that kind of relates back to the fact that maybe he's not banging down there enough in the, you know, under the boards and, you know, getting those nasty rebounds and going back up strong and getting fouled. And like you said, that number of, you know, that's a quarter for some. You think about James Harden, that's a quarter of free throws for him. And for that to be over a 6-game scan, that's pretty embarrassing if you ask me.
Yeah, well, I asked him straight up. I didn't beat around the bush. I said, do you have a goal? You try to get in, he's just like, yo, you know what? I got it. I just got to do it. I got to stop the fadeaways. I got to get it back in rhythm. I just got to do it. So I'm glad he at least recognizes that's a necessity. It's not at that size. It's something you have to do. And I understand this day and age where you want everybody shooting threes and all that. But I will say this, Ed, it was refreshing to hear Devin Booker when I asked him same thing. I said, well, you shot 14 free throws. And he goes, well, everyone wants to play by analytics, either a three or a layup. He said, the mid-range game, if they're blitzing you, you take the mid-range shot. So it's refreshing to hear a young player say, I'm just going to play basketball.
Yeah, the mid-range game and taking it to the hole, man. Whatever happened to those type of players and that style of philosophy? Like you said, I can't stand the analytics of the game and where it's going, and especially, you know, you bring up the fact that everybody's expected to shoot threes. Not everybody can shoot threes. So, you know, you get somebody like a DeAndre Ayton, and it's like, why trying to turn a watermelon into a pineapple? It's like, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Let that man do what he's best at. Put him on, you know, there's no shame in having somebody who has to have their back to the basket and down low. That's, you know, that's how the game was played in our day with all the big men. So, you know, you got it. Use it, man.
So I got to ask you this, and it's a pure football question. I looked up today, and I saw it was about 8 a.m. this morning, and I saw Matt Rhule got 7 years, $60 million from Carolina. And I said, wow, they have a lot of faith in him. They're basically saying, we trust you. You're our coach. We're going to be patient. I was like, wow. But then I looked up a couple hours later, and Joe Judge got the Giants job? Who the hell is Joe Judge?
Bruh, never even heard of him. When I finally get home, I'm going to have to look him up to see what he looks like. You talking about a panic mode like no other. I mean, and here's the thing, bruh. Only the Giants and even – I would have expected this from the Browns before I did the Giants, but that just shows you where they're at and who they have in charge. And the fact that, you know, I said, and God love him, I played under Pat Shurmur. Pat Shurmur was not a head coach. If he got a couple different opportunities, and If you look at that, and that was your choice a couple of years ago, and now you're sitting here, you know, and then you got this Judge guy. I mean, that makes no sense to me at all, man. I don't know. I'm waiting to hear the press conference and how they try to fool us into thinking this was our third. This was our target all along. You know, we're gonna hear that.
Here's what I got, and I'm a Kerry Lackey Law Line right now, the one, the only Ed Smith, EZ Sports Talk Radio. Here's what I don't get. He was the wide receiver and special team coach for the Patriots. The worst performing position, you took your number one draft pick and N'Keal Harry, who I saw every Saturday and covered every Saturday at ASU, and I know how talented he was, and he didn't barely do anything. You traded for Mohamed Sanu, who barely did anything. And all we heard was Brady didn't have weapons, his receivers aren't good enough. That's the guy you hired? That coach, the guy that was good enough to make Brady look good? Please.
And they're trying them Jedi mind tricks on us, bro. Like I said, you know there had to be better candidates out there. And let's toss something else out there, man. I'm getting sick of this Rooney Rule with these token interviews. You know, they bring Marvin Harris out there to Dallas, and then your boy Bieniemy, he gets the token look. And you can't tell me that he's not more qualified being under Andy Reid and what he's done with that Kansas City offense and Mahomes. And you can't tell me he's not a better candidate than this Judge. And even a couple others have gotten looks. I just, like I said, I just hate the fact that they abuse that rule, and it's like such a, you know, just a flippant thing they do, and then you go make this kind of hire, and you're going to try to sell us some magic beans, you know, knowing doggone out ain't but nothing but some pinto beans or, you know, something like that. You know, it's crazy, man.
As I like to say, don't serve me pigeon and tell me it's steak, because you are 100% correct. John Harbaugh is from the Andy Reid tree, and we see what he's done. We see what Peterson in Philly has done. We saw Matt Nagy, even though Matt Nagy drives me nuts getting cute, we saw him lead Mitch Trubisky as the quarterback to a division title, and somehow in a terrible year that every Bear fan complained about, still went 8-8. But Eric Bieniemy, who is the OC for KC, can't get a title? Come on.
But Judge can.
When we look at what Matt Patricia's doing, which is a terrible job, we saw what his OC Josh Daniels did out in Denver, a terrible job. And they go all the way down. And you know what that's like? Becky Hammon, who coaches, was an assistant with the Spurs, when she interviewed for a head coaching job, basically they said, in basketball, you got your assistants on the front, and you got your assistants that's in the back. When you sit in the back, they don't really consider you ready to take a head coaching job. So one of the things they told her was, you got to be an assistant on the front of the bench. Well, guess what she is now? She's an assistant on the front of the bench, which makes her now, I don't want to say eligible for hire, but more ready. They took the dude that's not even on behind the bench. They took the dude behind that's sitting behind the guy sitting behind the bench. And it just looks like Gettleman found him a guy that's going to be loyal to Gettleman, that's not going to make waves for Gettleman, and is going to do everything that Gettleman asks because he gave him a shot. You don't get better like that.
I would anticipate after a bad year next year, Gettleman, his tenure will be quickly resolved. I can't see them making a move like this. And then you go into next year, and it's as bad as it was this year, it'll be probably even worse next year. And, you know, you got to do a better job than that. He has just consistently been horrible at personnel, some of the draft pick decisions. I don't know how he has a job, just like I don't know how certain somebody out here has a job as well.
I don't even get me into Steve Kerr, because I'm still trying to figure out what he has done good well, because he is god-awful terrible. And I want to jump into just a couple of these football games real quick. I wasn't surprised Tennessee beat the Patriots. Were you?
I picked New England reluctantly. I'm going to say I wasn't surprised that they beat them. I'm just surprised at how poorly New England looked and played, they looked pathetic. And that, to me, that's the biggest surprise. I could see both teams, like, coming out. I thought this was going to be a game where both teams, and obviously we haven't seen much of, from the Patriots don't even go throughout the regular season, but I thought playoff time, the notch turns up, the schemes get, you know, more intense. The play, everybody knows, is, you know, winner, go home. And I thought we'd have one of those games with all kind of fireworks and plays, you know, the New England pulling everything out the bag. And man, what we saw was just, I mean, it wasn't even, you know, halfway decent. And that's the thing that surprised me the most. Not that they lost the game, it's just how pathetic that they looked.
Ed, you know, the Patriots beat three teams with the winning record all year. And I think that's why I picked Tennessee going in. And here's the crazy part. They beat Buffalo twice, so that counts as two. They lost every other team with a winning record. So they only beat teams, for the most part, that were 8-8 and below. They didn't sustain drives all year. They didn't pass block well. They didn't run block well. And it seems like, and I've been saying this over and over, and Patriot fans are always editing me when I say this, there's too much off Brady's fastball now. I think it's time.
I think it's time, too, but I still go back to the fact that he had, you know, we can't say he didn't have zero weapons, but there was no continuity between what they had all year. It was covering this guy in, you know, this guy hurt, this one coming back from IR. It just felt like they never got into a rhythm. And for Brady, he's so used to playing with the toys that he knows what they can do and where they're going to be. And this is one of those years, you know, and obviously you got to take Gronk out of the equation. It just felt like we finally saw that he can no longer elevate garbage to, like, you know, you just brought up, you know, pigeon earlier, and let's talk about steak. You know, some people and chefs, you know, I watch Chopped all the time. They take some of those crazy ingredients and they make it work, man. You know, like squid and liver and stuff like that. You know, he's now at the point where he can't take those ordinary ingredients and make them into something. Whereas, say, if you put him in some of these offenses and surround them with some of the talent that some of the other teams have, and I'm not saying all of it, even just a little bit of it, he could probably still be extremely functional. And I'm saying not Tom Brady, the GOAT, but still somebody who could win a championship. What I'm seeing now is a dude that he needs all the help he can get. He can no longer just do it because he's Tom Brady and give me what you got.
Okay, I'm going to say this, and I've already got – I said it yesterday, and I got a couple text messages from people that are in their feelings. So I'm not in my feelings when I say this. Football is a game unlike any other game, and you played, so you could tell me if I'm wrong. Once football passes you, it passed you. And the human body only has so many hits before you just kind of start shying away and not just want to be hit anymore. And I think Brady, Breeze, Manning, and Rivers, from everything I see from them, they don't want to be hit anymore. They've taken their fair share of hits. I just don't see it anymore in them.
And, you know, that could be half right. The other thing, you know, you got to remember how much they protect these quarterbacks now, man. I mean, you can't touch them. I mean, though you can't land on them, you can't touch them with a fingernail on the head. You know, there are those hits that still are legal that really rack up. I think the thing, you brought up four quarterbacks that are all almost like yesteryear, meaning they work so great in the pocket, but they don't have that escapability of a Mahomes, of a Jackson, of a Watson, of a Wilson. You know, you run down the list, that extra, I guess, protection that they have. And once they slow down, man, they're like sitting ducks within that pocket. And what it also does is limits your game plan, meaning you have to, I guess, you have to protect them even more, sometimes leave an extra back in, maybe a tight end in with the, you know, the max protections. Whereas, like with a Wilson, like I said, those other names I just threw out there, you can roll these guys out. You can always count on them escaping. You can always count on them extending plays. So I think, like I said, this is the time with today's game where if you're going to be dropping back 35, 40 times, these guys, those old school guys, are just relics. And, you know, you like I said, there's time for Brady's and Breeze's and Rivers. Oh, my God. I mean, not only has he become a liability in the pocket, he's going to become a liability throwing the ball down the field. And that's you can't have an old, immobile quarterback who's throwing interceptions. That's like, you know, three strikes, you're out.
I'm the Kerry Lackey Law Line, the one only SMS Easy Sports Talk Radio. Philadelphia, there were some text messages going back and forth. Carson Wentz, look, here's the thing. If you take a helmet to the head, you took a helmet to the head. The days of getting up, shaking it off, you know, they're not taking any extra, you know, any chances. You're out if they think you have a concussion. I get that. But he has to be one of the dumbest mobile quarterbacks ever. Every time he gets hurt, it's because he refuses to slide. So if you know you're all your team has and you're trying to pick up a meaningless 1 yard on a scramble, you're an idiot then. It's fine. So I have no sympathy for this dude because you have to be smarter than that if you know that's all that your team has.
Well, you know what, Paul? I would actually, if I was one of his teammates, I would question, and I'm going to take this to a level that, you know, as a former player from a different era, you know, maybe I'm that old dude on the, you know, the porch. But back in my day, a ding, something that wasn't noticed on the field, you come over to the sideline, you shake that off because, you know, 90% of the other guys out there on the field are doing just that. You know, offensive linemen button heads every snap, you know, and getting, you know, dinged and, you know, maybe a little woozy for a second. I just got the impression, for me, I wasn't so much even questioning, well, he's injury prone. I was like, you bring up a great point. How smart is he? Because he shouldn't be putting himself in those positions. But I got to start questioning his toughness, man. Because you think who was it? Brett Favre. Ben Roethlisberger, well, sometimes he whines too much anyway, but some of these other quarterbacks, you would almost have to go out there and take them lifeless off the field, and I just thought that maybe he was a little woozy there for a second. I think he threw up the flag, in my opinion, a little too quick. For me, I like my quarterback to, you know, maybe shake it off over there, go out another series, and if things aren't happening or maybe they're moving a little too fast for him, or I need a little more from that position and from all of them for that matter. So I question whether some of his teammates after this one, because we've already seen him, you know, he's never taken him to a playoff victory. He finally gets his chance and checks out really quick for me, a little too fast on the eject button.
So let me go ahead and clean up what you just said. He's a pansy. He was supposed to shake that off and get back in the game. He could spell a song under his nose and get his butt back in the game.
In my opinion, you said it exactly what I was saying. Hey, bro, you know how many dings I played through, and you know, and I know he's a quarterback, and I know, but hey, bro, like I said, when everybody else is out there, all hands on deck, and all of a sudden you sitting there shaking your head like, ooh, I don't feel so good, man. I'm telling you, he might have lost a player or two in that locker room. They'll never say it, but. I'm questioning even like some of the staff being like, what really happened there? You know?
So let me ask you this question. And again, I'm going to sound real cold when I say this. After watching Buffalo play Houston, I'm convinced Buffalo got to the playoffs in spite of Josh Allen, not just necessarily because of him, because some of his decisions, Ed, had me scratching my head. Throwing the ball across his body to a fullback in double coverage. Trying to lateral a ball back to a tight end that wasn't even paying attention. Just some of his decisions had me just baffled. And when I talk about quarterbacks that aren't too bright, he has to rank up there with quarterbacks that just aren't that bright.
Yeah, I'll give him a pass, though. But, I mean, what he did during the regular season, kind of helping, not, you know, uplifting that team, but, you know, getting them to that level, making the playoffs, two out of the last few years they've been there. Obviously, this is his first stint. But I'll give him credit, man. I mean, he's out there you know, kind of flying by the seat of his pants a little bit. And I don't think he really realized where he was this past weekend. You know, he thought this was still a regular season game. And, you know, when you start lateraling stuff, I mean, it wasn't even a it was – he literally just threw that ball over his head, man. Just, like, just threw it backwards over his head. And, I mean, you're like, there was no explanation for that. So, you know, in the heat of the moment, he just – he lost all – you know, he lost – he must have thought he was playing Madden or something like that, man, and just, you know, no repercussions or whatever. But I'll give him a pass in terms of, you know, stupidity just for a split second. Hopefully, you know, if you're a Buffaloes fan, you'll never see something like that again. But, you know, I thought he had a, you know, he ran the ball really well. I like the way he threw the ball, made some good decisions, then some bad decisions. I just think, like I said, that youngness. But I see, I do see an upside for him. I'm not sure if it's to the roof, but you know, it's at least to the upper floors, I think.
All right, and then I don't want to talk about Deshaun Watson because every time I see his name, I just start getting a tear in my eye because he should be a Chicago Bear.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Just watching what he did and taking those two hits and coming out, spinning off, throwing that pass. And then I look up, and we still have Mitchell Trubisky. So all I'll say is this game to Deshaun. But in New Orleans, Ed, I don't want to hear about no damn P.I. I don't want to hear that nonsense. The wide receiver and the tight end were hand fighting all the way to the last second. Did the tight end extend a little bit? Yeah, he did. You can't call that. What lost the game for them was Drew Brees had one good drive and he was mediocre at best the rest of the game. That's what lost that game for them. Not that no call. So whiny ass Saints fans, please go back under the rock you were 3 years ago because I can't take it anymore from them.
Last year I was in agreement. I was an egregious play. Still, you shouldn't have put yourself in that position. Even more so this year. I mean, look what you – I mean, you had Kirk Cousins and, you know, the Minnesota Vikings. And now, first of all, congratulations to my nephew for them pulling that one out. But there's no excuse for you to put you – the most high-powered offense in football for the most part. You had a bye week, an extra week to prepare, you know, while you're sitting on your couch, you know. No, that was actually wild card, but – They have no excuse for what they did. And this year, I am finally on the, you know, you guys need to shut up because you had every reason to win that game, none to lose it, and you're making a bunch of us look like fools. We talk about how high-powered you are, Minnesota has no chance, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Got me embarrassing myself, talking about my nephew's team don't even have a chance, and then you go ahead and lay an egg like that, that's on you.
Yeah, I'm tired of them. I'm tired of Sean Payton with his puckered lips looking like he's mad all game. I'm tired of him. I'm done with them. Because you know what? Football is football. Hand fighting is what happens. And it's what happens. So your guy got pushed a little. Big deal. The refs did review it. Stop saying the refs didn't review it. They reviewed it. They said it did not escalate to the point where they thought it should have been overturned. That means they reviewed it. Real quick, though, this week I got Minnesota in the upset, believe it or not. So I'm going with you next week.
Okay.
I got them in an upset. I got Baltimore winning. I got Kansas City winning. And, I'm up in the air with that Seattle Green Bay. I'll probably rock with Green Bay just because they're at home. I'll rock with Green Bay just because they're at home.
I'm going to go with you. I'm with you on all lines as far as Green Bay just because they're at home, KC, Baltimore. I'm a little perplexed by, you know, Minnesota out there in San Fran. Cause San Fran, boy, they've been balling. And they bring that run game and then, you know, sick that defense on Kurt. It could be a long day for them. And, you know, so I'm going to reluctantly pick against my nephew and them, but hope I'm wrong again 2 weeks in a row.
By the way, do you know Bill Polian, who said Lamar Jackson should not have been a quarterback, should have been a wide receiver, should have tried out for another position. He'd never make it as a quarterback. You know, he still didn't vote for him as an All-Pro.
Man, you tell you know, you only get me started on that one, man. That is embarrassing for somebody like a Bill Polian. And it's one thing to do it and not have the cojones to, you know, back off it and say, hey, maybe I was wrong, but to double down and not put him, you know, as your vote for him for MVP, to me, that's just ridiculous, man. That, you know, they should take his award away after something like that. You know, you lose respect for people sometimes when they make idiotic comments and, like I said, don't have the courage or, you know, the rightness to correct it, because that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, well, he didn't even vote for him as an All-Pro. So I will say this. When he hates, he hate hard.
Hate.
And then real quick, before I let you bounce out of here, on the Kerry Lackey Law Line, the one and only Ed Smith, ED Sports Talk Radio. So when they opened this Pandora's box with Houston and said the Astros were cheating, and I said, once you get into it, you got to find out a whole bunch of other teams are cheating. And now we're coming to find out the Red Sox were possibly cheating with video of the year they won the World Series. If we keep – I don't know why baseball does this, Ed. You played it. They keep wanting to dig deeper and keep peel the onion off. And I've said this about steroids. I know you and I differ on that. But if you don't start putting these guys in, eventually history is going to catch up with these guys from the 50s and the 60s that were allegedly playing the right way. And one day someone's going to come out and talk about how many uppers they really were taking, and it's all going to fall apart. Why doesn't baseball leave it alone? Do their stuff internally. Do their fines internally. Don't keep peeling back the onion. It's making your game look bad.
Making a game that already looks bad look even worse to me, if you ask me. I don't know what they're thinking. I question their leadership, commissioner, just whoever's in place in a lot of these different positions. And I'm one of those people that bailed on baseball a few years ago, Paul. And this is everything they do, these scandals, whether it be through the steroids, like you said, or through this video cheating. I just fall further and further out of love with the game. And for me, they've got a big problem trying to attract the younger generation. You keep this up, you're not going to get any of them back. And the older generation is going to continue to die off. And I'm wondering who's going to be even caring about baseball in a few years.
Yeah, on there. So I know you're going to be out at Barrett Jackson. Tell everyone about the show, what time it comes out on Saturdays anyway. And I know they can get a glimpse of you in person pretty soon.
Yes, sir. Every Saturday from 10 to noon on KDUS 1060 AM. And, man, I appreciate you hooking me up. My forgetful mind with all this running around, I almost forgot about Barrett Jackson. And you hooked the brother up, man, so I'm going to be out there. I'm going to pick my pass up tomorrow and talk to him about doing both shows like we did a couple years ago from the right out there near the Thrill Ride area. So if anybody's out there, come on, check us out. And we actually got a chance to hang out with you a couple years ago while you were doing the show on site too, I think, one of the Saturdays. So look forward to seeing you there, man, and it's all good.
Yeah, I'm working out my schedule now. Basketball season resumes this Saturday, so I got to figure out exactly what times I can be out there on a Saturday, but I definitely am doing at least three shows from there, probably a couple during the week and one Saturday. But Ed, the little man is on a 14U basketball AAU team that's playing the MLK tournament.
Wow. He's not far old, is he? 12?
10.
10. Oh, my God. Congratulations, man. You're balling out.
Man, we had our first practice, and I gave him the talk. I said, just because I'm coaching a team, that doesn't mean that you get to play. So he went out with the first practice, guarded someone 6 foot tall, and when my man went up to shoot the ball, came across, smacked the ball right out of his hand. And I looked at him, I said, he remembered if a big man brings it down, swipe at it and get it. I said, you know what?
Get
at it. He might get some defensive run. And then I looked up, and he hit a couple jumpers on him. I was like, you know what? Mouse in the house can play a little bit.
He's making up for eating all them groceries, man.
Yeah. He's going to have to do something because he's growing and eating. He got to take care of his brother. So get him toughened up the next couple of years. He can join him. But, yeah, man, but I will definitely be out there as well, and I'm glad that you're going to be out there because your show is incredible, and people need to understand that you're always on site somewhere. And if they can see you and Bear Jackson, that's a winner-winner.
I appreciate that, bro.
So, but yeah, man, give everyone your handle so I can let you jump up out of here.
At Ed Smith Speaks on Twitter and on Instagram. We got the Facebook page, is the Easy Sports Talk. And they can also follow me on Facebook personally, Ed Smith Speaks. Appreciate you, man.
Hey, brother, no doubt. Likewise, man, it's always good catching up with my brother in crime, and we'll get together real soon.
Sounds good, Brother Paul.
All right, bro, I'll catch up with you.
Okay.
That is the one only Ed Smith. Every time he comes on, he enlightens everyone with what's happening. Good brother, man. Great show. Great person, most importantly. 15 seconds, and we're going to wrap this up.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
Hey, this is Mikel Bridges with the Phoenix Suns. I'm in a cave with PLR.
I told you I got a chance to catch up with Devin Booker about everything that was going on. I will have that sound for you tomorrow. It may be a day late. Well, actually, you know what? I have it right now. It did upload. So let's play what Devin talks about with how he feels about analytics and playing basketball.
You know, just trying to find your rhythm. You know, I always say take what the defense gives you and, you know, simplify the game. You know, don't do too much or follow any analytics everybody says, only threes and layups. Just play the game. You know, a lot of teams are giving up that mid-range shot, leaving the bigs at the rim and protecting the paint. So just, you know, take what the defense gives you. If they blitz, make the right play out of it. So, you know, there's a bunch of different coverages that you see throughout the NBA. And, you know, just simplifying that and making the right play every time.
You don't do what analytics say. You just play the game the right way. So we got so much to get into tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm going to try my best to leave those whiny-ass Saints fans alone. I promise I'm going to try. But we'll talk more about basketball. The Suns have the Kings tonight, so we'll have some updates on that tomorrow. We'll talk a little bit more. I'll have another big-time guest tomorrow that'll talk about Joe Judge. I've been getting text messages from my New York Giant friends. And those in the media and those out the media, I can't repeat what these text messages say because I don't use that kind of language. Thanks, Eric Bear. Thanks, callers. Thank you for everything. Calling in on the Carry Lights Law Line. Occasional with PLR. This is PLR. At the Sports Cave with the K on the Twitter, on the Facebook, on Instagram. You can get me directly at PLR on Sports on the Twitter. Until tomorrow, thank you all for joining. It's been a lot of fun today. Thanks again to the one that earlier asked. Until tomorrow, this is going to be PLR. Don't forget, you can check us for the replay at KSLN at 3 o'clock. Don't forget to check out and make sure you check out KSIN for the best in sports, the best in podcasts, and for music. Enjoy your Tuesday, man. It's the KSIN. Take care.